This is Switzerland calling. SBC presents
Assignment Switzerland, Assignment World.
Assignment Switzerland, Assignment World, produced by Lance Shannon, bring you the story of men and women who, with their work away from home, help create better understanding among the people of the world.
In the field of popular music, one man has done more than any others to establish a common ground for people from all over the world to meet in the enjoyment of that lively form of music which is jazz. With his trumpet, Louis Armstrong has thrilled audiences in many countries, and it was in the course of his recent visit to Switzerland that Lance Shannon had a talk with a famous American jazz musician. Let us listen now to what they were discussing. Louis, today we're not going to talk about your career and your music in particular, because that is by now so well known to everybody. You're an international figure. But I would like to talk to you about music as an international language. Have you noticed that European audiences are different in any way from American audiences when it comes to listening and responding to your music?
Well, to find you take a musician that's in my category. Well, I mean, you take a classical musician.
Yes.
They feel the same as a classical musician would feel in New York.
Right.
Toward me. Mm-hmm. And this fine trumpeter, what is it, Chance, Herb Chance, Herb Nance, or something, he plays for the boy that I works with all the time, Don Merrill.
Yes.
First class trumpeter. Mm-hmm. And he comes in my dressing room and just drools all over the place when he see me put my valves, you know, finger my horn.
Mm-hmm.
He say, I love the way you finger your trumpet and things like that.
That's right.
You see what I mean? And I'll sit down and enjoy his classics.
Yes, certainly.
I mean, we have our language. I mean, just like you take fighters, I mean, they get somewhere and talk about knockout blows and everything like that.
Yes.
I go different towns, and in a town that I go in, okay, the West, Egypt, or Africa, or Europe, or everywhere it is, mm-hmm. New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
it's the same.
You find that the people respond the same way
to
your music?
The same, the audience the same.
So in other words, then the music touches them the same way.
The same way, I mean. I was telling my wife the time I first went to London, and I was such a sensation. One day I walked down one of those little streets,
mm-hmm.
and the people just following behind me, and an old fella come out of a store with a lot of paintings.
Yes.
He say, I have two sons. My older son is a great painter.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger son, he admires his brother's painting and everything. But he admires your music and you better than his brothers. Now, he explained that. I said, well, the kid just like music like I do, that's all.
That's right, certainly.
He feels it the same.
Certainly.
He just couldn't understand that. Yeah.
Now, you've moved a lot here in Europe from one country to another, more than perhaps any other jazz musician. Would you say that people here in Europe are different from one place to another when it comes to music?
No, I don't. In Italy, La Scala there.
Yes.
We was playing at the Neon Theater somewhere.
Yeah.
Concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And after my first concert, the people from La Scala took me in a cab and had me to pose for pictures,
mm-hmm.
with big people like Wagner and Verdi.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because our music speaks the same language.
Well, there you are. There you are.
You have to play jazz music from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They play good. Now, you catch a lot of cats, they get the wrong interpretation. Dixieland and jazz.
Yeah, I can hold them.
Yeah, sure.
Now, it is all right. But you can express yourself. And the
torches number.
Yes, yes.
That's jazz. See?
Mm-hmm.
I was warming up one afternoon in Miami, Florida. I was playing a colored dance. I'll never forget it. And then in the colored section, as we say. And I was in the intermezzo, you know. And this old fella knocked on the door. He come in, he said, I'm the flutist from the Philadelphia Symphony Orchestra, and I'm down here for my health. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be taking a walk, and I heard you a block away playing this intermezzo,
Phrasing
it like I never heard it before.
Uh-huh.
And I brought myself all the way back here to find out who was this man playing this. You know what I mean? In the room by myself, just knocking myself out.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, if you could play that in a symphony hall, just that. How about that? And we just sit down and talk about operas and classics, because I played in the symphony orchestra myself, you know.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I don't brag about it, but a lot of things I do when the time comes, you know, as far as music. I never believe in hogging the show. You know, sometimes you can do too much and you get too good, and then the people say, oh, all that music you hear on the radio and all that.
Yeah.
I played it sometime or other for Silent Pictures in Chicago, 1925, under the direction of Erskine Tate.
Is that right?
One of the best symphony orchestras we had on the South Side in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
See, a lot of people don't know that.
Indeed, indeed. That's true.
I always remember one time there I was, you know, 1 week would alternate. First trumpet 1 week, second trumpet next, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm playing first for this picture that John Barrymore played in called Moby Dick. I'll never forget it. It was a scene in there in the sea where this whale was biting his legs off.
Yeah.
And we just went, ba-ba-ba! He's supposed to be blood, and I got all wrapped up in that picture. And I missed my place. And I ain't going to tell you what all he called me. Yeah, boy, what a wonderful experience. And every other Sunday, we played a solo.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
So that was one of my solos.
I see.
Intermezzo Rusticana. Uh-huh. And that's beautiful.
Now to come back to some of your plans and to the original question of music as an international language, I've read that you have plans to go to Russia if there is a possibility and play in Russia. How about that?
Oh, I'll be glad to go and swing for them cats over there, man.
Has anything definite been done on that, or is it just that you would be willing to go if...
Well, I'll have some talk of it, but all that has to go through my agent.
Yes, sure.
I mean,
certainly.
We don't have to book ourselves.
No, certainly.
I'm only the leader of the band and play myself. I don't even know what each man get in the band.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They all sign a Mr. Glazer, and I don't care, you know.
Sure, sure.
All that weight's off much. I don't care for all that.
But in case the path would be cleared for it, you'd go.
Well, it'd be wonderful. Do you realize how many fans we have in Russia?
I don't know. Do you think there are people who understand jazz in Russia?
The last time we played in Berlin,
There
was... Oh, so many Russians came through that curtain just to catch our Louis.
Is that right?
Just to catch our Louis.
Did you actually
say, we don't know how we're going to get back? I don't know how we'll take that back. Yeah, they come backstage, and we met at another fan's house in Germany, where we had a little party just to get together and talk around, you know, and meet everybody. It was a wonderful, from the Hot Club of Berlin.
Berlin.
And those boys were invited.
Yes, sure. I'm quite sure that there must be the same kind of interest.
It's got to be, man. I bet they got bass and street all over Russia, you know, like we play in New York.
You
cats understand it.
Certainly.
So, how many Russian musicians I played with 200 times in my life?
Sure, yeah, certainly.
All over Europe, sit in.
In conclusion, what would you say is the most important thing a musician has to do really to reach his audience?
Reach his audience? Just get right out there with them. I mean, I'm my own audience.
Uh-huh.
The minute I stand on that stage, I'm sitting out there listening to myself.
Uh-huh.
See what I mean?
In other words, you're your own critic, too.
I'm my own critic, too. So whatever they say in the papers, they ain't gonna say no more than I say, I mean. So it's all right. But otherwise, it's no good if you don't keep your mind on it like that.
Certainly.
And I always say, what spoils a lot of good musicians when they get to be stars and leaders?
Yes.
They're so busy worrying about the percentage part of money tell somebody watching the box office, tell forget to serve the people.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I don't have to bother with the box office, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm playing for the little taste that I agreed to play for, and that's that. Now the people is what I...
Mm-hmm.
And I never leave my visions of New Orleans, no matter where I'm playing.
Is that right?
With Ori and all them cats.
Uh-huh.
And that's the music we're playing to the people. And you notice it never change.
Uh-huh.
Now they can bring all the stars they want, so much for that, overnight and that, you know, to each his own.
That's
but
right.
Music is music, and that's where I was brought up, and I won't change it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
as long as it's good,
yeah,
as long as it's sincere.
Yeah, it's got to be good or bad, and I try to play good. That makes me feel good.
Right.
And that's enough. I don't want to prove nothing. I don't want to do that. I just live the life I'm doing, and all my audience, they dig me.
Right. So, okay. Thanks a lot.
That was an interview by Lance Channon with America's Goodwill Ambassador of Jazz, Louis Armstrong.
Been listening to Assignment Switzerland, Assignment World, an SBC production by Lance Channon.